Nashvakayat, that's called in many times.
Minatas Nai Shigurveda Mahat. So there's many interesting stories about Srimati Radharani and Srimati Radharani's appearance, some of which we told yesterday. And we spoke a little bit about the philosophy, how Radharani is the Ladini Shakti of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That means she's the pleasure potency. There's three aspects to the internal potency. There's Samvit, Sandini, and Ladini. Samvit means the cognitive potency. That means basically knowledge. Gracias. That means knowledge. Just like we have this Sat Chit Ananda, eternity, bliss, and knowledge. So Chit is knowledge, Sat is eternity. So Sandini, that's the existential potency of the Lord, or that which maintains the Sandini potency, that which maintains or eternality, the Sat. And then, of course, Ladini means pleasure potency. So Radharani is the pleasure potency of the Lord. In other words, her whole existence is to give pleasure to Krishna. This is very wonderful. Because in this material world, the perverted reflection of that is the male-female relationship, where the both the male and the female are trying to be Purusha. That means they're trying to be the males in an ontological sense, not only in a physical sense. They're trying to be the enjoyer, and they want others, the other one, with the couple, you know, whether the man is the other half or the woman is the other half, they want the other one to be the prakriti. So this is very, very sad that we always want to have our prakritis, isn't it? Our people who serve us. And that relationship not only occurs between male and female, but in practically any relationship we have, whether it's friendship, relationship, just like we have the different rasas in this world, we want the other person or persons to be subservient to us and actually please us, have their lives dedicated to pleasing them. Even children. I remember when I was young, my mother would always say to me, you have to become a doctor when you get older. And I said, why? She said, to please me. And I, of course, fortunately, I had enough intelligence to say, why? She said, because you're my son. And then I kept asking the why, until she got angry at me. So this is the nature of relationships in this world, that we all want our prakritis to please us. You know, whether it's children to please us, or our wives, or our husbands, or our friends, or our servants that please us, or we're the servant, we want the master to please us. I mean, you find that also master, disciple, spiritual master relationship. You know, we see that this person is meant for my enjoyment. Or rock and roll star, just like you had the Beatles in the 1960s. So people were thinking, at least those who were enamored with them, that they're meant to please me. They weren't thinking of pleasing them. So this is the relationships in this world. So Radharani is always thinking how to please Krishna. So one of the ways that she pleases Krishna, just like in the material world, one pleases the other person by pleasing their senses, right? Isn't it? That's how you please someone in the material world. So in the material world, the most voracious and uncontrollable sense is the tongue. Just like, you know, last night we were seeing everybody enjoying. And that's good. They're enjoying nice prasadam, because it says Chatur Bidhav Shri Bhagavat Prasadam. The devotee is happy to see someone enjoying four types of prasadam: that which is chewed, that which is licked up, drunk, and swallowed. So we're enjoying seeing that. But in this world, the tongue is so strong. It controls everybody. And I was just, what was the news I just heard the other day? Oh, yeah, that there's an unprecedented rate of strokes amongst teenagers now. You know, previously you think, you know, strokes are for us old folks. I know that rhymes. Strokes are for the old folks. But nowadays, there's like a tremendous rate of teenagers because they're these uncontrollable tongue. And of course, in America, there's the tendency to overconsume in many different ways. So in the spiritual world, Krishna also likes to have his tongue pleased. And so Radharani, one of the nice services that Radharani does is she cooks for Krishna. And every day, Mother Yashoda sends for Radharani. Radharani, this is, of course, when they're older, when Radharani is living in Varshana, as we mentioned yesterday, that in the beginning, Radharani is living in Ravel. But when she gets older and is cooking for Krishna, she's living in Varshana or Yavat, one of the two places. And then Mother Yashoda sends for Radharani every day to cook for Krishna. And so Radharani is in the kitchen along with her associates cooking for Krishna. And Krishna sometimes, to tease her, he makes believe that what he's eating is not so tasty. He makes a face. And it puts Radharani in anxiety. Because Krishna just says, ooh, this laddu, yuck. Let someone else eat it. And then so Radharani starts to get anxiety. I didn't please Krishna. So this is her mood. So the reason she's able to cook like that, because this is the interesting pastime, is that she got a benediction from Durvasa. Now, Durvasa is, of course, the sage who has a bad temper. That's what Durvasa. Durvasa can sometimes mean, Vasa can mean dress, it can mean place of residence, and also the face or temperament of someone. So Dura means someone with a bad temperament. So Durvasa, this is very interesting. Once upon a time, Durvasa arrived at Radharani's house, and this is in Varshana. And when Durvasa arrived, all the Sakis ran away because they were scared of him. Because Durvasa is a pretty scary sage. Anyway, but Radha remained, and Durvasa asked her to cook sweet rice and to feed him personally with the sweet rice with her hands. Of course, Durvasa is completely detached. He has no lust in his heart. So Radha prepared this sweet rice, and he was so pleased that he blessed her at that particular point that whatever your hands touch, whatever you prepare will be as sweet as nectar, and anyone who tastes this food will have long life, strength, beauty, fame, etc. And so when Yashoda Mayi heard this, she thought, let's have Radharani come every day to cook for Krishna. So this boon, of course, it's not that Radharani is dependent on the boons of some sage. Of course, Durvasa is not just some sage. Durvasa is considered to be an expansion of Lord Shiva. But Radharani's cooking is always nice, even before that. But this boon was sort of an excuse for Yashoda Mayi to ask Radharani to come over and cook for Krishna every day. And all right, so that's the pleasing Krishna by the sense of taste. And then Narada Muni, he gets into the act sometimes too, and he wants Radharani to please Krishna by her man or her anger. As we were discussing yesterday, that anger in the spiritual realm is actually extremely pleasing. It's spicy. Just like you have a dramatic, it's like a dramatic performance, because it's not anger than the sense of hate. In the material world, when we get angry with someone, what, we hate them. Like I hear this sometimes. Even children say to the parents, I've seen, I hate your guts. You hear this statement before? Now, that's a really heavy statement. I hate your guts. I can't stand you anymore. I don't want to see you anymore. And, you know, loving exchanges oftentimes turn to hatefulness. But in the spiritual world, there's none of that hatefulness in the anger. It's just spices up the relationship. It's like the... well, it's like asfaltito or something like that, or some little chili peppers. I was just in Toronto, and they called chili peppers sharks there. You ever heard of that before? Is that an Indian thing or what? Yeah, I guess it's India. They call the sharks. There's a lot of sharks in the prasadam today. Because when I first heard that, I thought, are they vegetarians or not? Are they eating shark fins? But actually, it's hot peppers. So it's nice to have little spices. You know, bland things are not so nice. So one time, Narada Muni wanted to help Krishna in these particular pastimes. So Narada was visiting Radharani. He was also a great devotee of Radharani. And Krishna had warned Radharani about Narada Muni. He said to her, you better be careful of this sage, because he's known for creating problems. And so Radharani didn't take it so seriously. And Krishna said to her, just see, you will see that I'm right, and you'll see what happens. So what happened is that Narada was playing on his veena for Krishna, and Krishna was extremely pleased with Narada's veena playing. And Krishna said, ask for benediction. This is a standard thing. When you please Krishna or please the devotees say, please ask for benediction. And so Narada Muni said, later on, I will ask for a benediction. Just keep that in mind. Put it in my bank account, the benediction bank account. So once upon a time, after that, there was a swing festival for Radha and Krishna. And they were waiting for Radharani. And Narada said to Krishna that before Radharani comes, I want to see you and Lalita swinging on the swing. So Krishna said, all right, I gave you a benediction. So Lalita did not want to do this because she's simply interested in putting Radharani forth. So therefore, Krishna forced her like that. And Lalita and Krishna were on the swing. And Narada Muni, at that point, flew to Radharani, wherever Radharani was, and said, guess what? you have so much trust in that. That bluish boy. But guess what? Now he's swinging with your best friend on the swing that was prepared for you. So Radharani became very angry. And she actually disappeared. She went to Lalita and then disappeared. And Narada disappeared because he didn't want to take blame for the whole thing. And then Krishna was looking for Radharani. He went everywhere. And he was crying. Krishna was literally crying, tears that were pouring from his eyes like torrents of rain. So you see, even Krishna feels separation from Radharani, just like Radharani feels separation from Krishna. Can you imagine that? God is crying because he feels separation from his girlfriend. So he's crying. And finally, finally he came across Krishna. He came across Radharani. Krishna came across Radharani. And then he explained that you should not trust Narada Muni in the future. Then they went swinging together after that. That's a nice story. So that another story is the story of the... There's actually many marriage stories. One of them took place in Gantole. That means where they tied the knot. So there was... As I mentioned last night, there was an arrangement for Radha and Krishna to be married, but Purnamasi sort of prohibited it. It was at the wrong it was an inauspicious time, so it never happened because Purnamasi didn't want them to get married. But still, they had some, let's say, informal marriages with each other. So at this particular point, the story is that Krishna was playing his flute and. The flute was calling out the name of Radha, Radha. And he was crying in separation from Radharani. And then Radharani's parrot, Sarika, gave Radharani the news that Krishna was crying. And they met. And when they lost external consciousness, Lalita tied a knot between them. And when they woke up, they discovered that their claws were tied to each other. That's marriage. Of course, as we mentioned yesterday, Krishna actually married all the gopis during the pastime of stealing the clothes. When Krishna stole their clothes after the whole Kachiyani Vrat He was able to see them naked, and that indicates that he was married to them at that particular juncture. That was like another informal marriage ceremony. Mm.
I thought they had kind of came together with the goat pots that had been killed by Putuma, and then were absorbed, that 1 year old, all the boys, and they were absorbed. This is a story I heard, that the gopas who were killed by Putuma, the 1 year old boys, were absorbed into Krishna's body. And then at that lila where Krishna, gets the gopis to come to him naked, while it steals their clothes, then the gopas come out of his body that were killed at 1 year old, and the gopis and gopas merge like that.
No, that's impersonalism.
Impersonalism.
That story is not a bona fide story. It is called impersonalism, which is the opposite of Krishna consciousness. Tulsi, you better.
It's some of the Valabhacharya stuff.
Yeah, so we're followers. Tulsi, come on. You sit next to her. Anyway, so I'm giving class, if you don't mind. And we have a specific time for questions. So that's not a bona fide story. We're followers of... we're in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, so we're followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we're interested in the stories told by the acharyas in our Sampradaya. But that is actually not a bona fide story. The gopis and the gopas, they remain eternally separate. They're different personalities. They don't merge into each other. Very dangerous story. So, okay, Tulsi, you ready? So, here's an interesting story. This is a story that appeared in Kamyavan. Kamyavan is a place, Kamyavan is the place where the desires are fulfilled. There's actually Bhajan Kutir of Sanatana Goswami in Kamyavan. Anyone here been to Kamyavan? No, not even to Kamyavan. You've been to Kamyavan, right? No. Kamyavan is also where the original deity of Brindadevi is. Does anyone go there? Because what happened is that when they took all the deities, not all the deities, but most of the deities were taken out of Braj because the Muslims were attacking, then they took Vrinda to the edge of Braj, which is Kamyavan. And she wouldn't move any further. They couldn't pick her up. They couldn't move her. It was just like she stayed there because she didn't want to leave Braj. So the original deity of Vrinda is in Kamyavan. So this story occurred in Kamyavan. This is a very interesting story. That once upon a time, Radha and Krishna were together. And they were observing monkeys. Mm. And some of the monkeys were offering obeisances to Krishna. And they were just shocked to see this. And Lalita at that time told the story of Lord Ramchandra to Vishakha. And Krishna said, just very boldly, I am that Ramchandra. And just see how the monkeys are offering respect. And all the Sakis, including Radharani, started laughing at Krishna. And they started laughing, saying, this is not possible because Ram was faithful to Sita Devi. He had taken the vow of Eka Patni Vrata. That means only one wife. And you are hanging around with all of us, and you are certainly not faithful to Sita Devi or to anyone. It's impossible for you to be the same person because you are a devotee. So Krishna said, I'm the same. Previously, with my arrows, I would make all the three worlds tremble. And now, I do the same thing with my flute. And so the gopis didn't believe that. And Lita said, all right, then make a bridge of stones on top of this pond. Let us see. Otherwise, we will not believe you. Krishna said, okay, you bring the stones here. I'll make them float, he said to the gopis. You bring the stones. And so the gopis said, we're not going to bring the stones. You should order the monkeys. Why should you order us? We're not your servants. So Krishna ordered the monkeys, and then the stones floated. And Krishna said to Radharani that if you are my prana priya, that means the prana means like the life airs. You're the airs, the prana, just like you have in yoga. You have the different airs, the downward airs and the upward airs. So if you say someone is my life air, that is very romantic. So Krishna said to Radharani, because you are my prana priya, and I'm declaring this, and if it's actually true, the stones will float. So in Lord Ramchandra's pastimes, they wrote the names of Ram, or the name of Ram, on the stones, and they floated. And in this pastime, there's some stories they even touched it to Ram's feet, but that's not there in the original Ramayana. So in this particular pastime, Krishna declared that you are my prana priya, and if that is so, all the stones. So all the stones began to float, and they threw the stones into the pond, they floated, and they walked over the bridge to meet with each other. And the Lita, she was very angry, as we know her mood is that of anger, and she said, it is a trick. You're just like a shakta. And a shakta, that's like the left-handed tantra. And we talked about that before, because the shaktas, they have the five M's. Everybody remembers that? That's their regulative principles. Mudra, they make an obscene gesture. Matsya, they eat fish. Madan, they take intoxication. Maitunya, they have the worst type of illicit sex. And they take meat. Now, those are the five principles. So Lalita was accusing Krishna of being a shakta instead of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She said, this is just mundane magic. And everyone started laughing at Krishna. So they didn't believe that Krishna actually was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there's another story about the marriage of Radha and Krishna at a place called Bandiravan. That's the story where Lord Brahma performed the marriage. So once upon a time, Nanda Maharaj was grazing the cows, and there was a big storm. And Krishna, this is when Krishna was really small, because Bandiravan is on the eastern side of the Jamuna. Remember I was talking yesterday about the eastern side and the western side of the Jamuna? And the eastern side was where Krishna had his Gokul pastimes, like the Damodar Leela and the Leela where Mother Yashoda was able to see all the universes within Krishna's mouth. So this happened when Krishna was very, very small. And Radha was also very small. So they were grazing the cows, at least Nanda Maharaj was grazing the cows, and there was a storm, and Krishna started crying out of fear. What happened? And then Radharani approached, and Radharani, because girls mature a little faster than boys at that age. Did you know that? When they're real young, girls take responsibility, just like you see it in our school at Sundapani Muni School. The girls take their smaller siblings to school. They're actually carrying, even the 4 or 5-year-old girls, they're actually carrying babies. It's really interesting. But you never see a 4 or 5-year-old boy carrying babies. Like you never see Badri carrying a baby. Maybe he does. But isn't that true? Did you ever see a 4-year-old boy? You may have. Sometimes it may happen. But generally it's the girls who grow faster than boys who become more mature at that age. So, anyway, so Radharani, even though she was younger than Krishna, was asked by Nanda Maharaj to take Krishna home. And he actually said to Radharani jokingly that, please take your husband home. You know, because he thought, well, they get married later on. And he was joking, but he actually internally realized their relationship. So she carried Krishna, and she was remembering their intimate, loving exchanges when they exhibit an older form. And so Krishna, all of a sudden, she was carrying him, and then he disappeared, and then he reappeared in his youthful form, a Navayovanam form, you know, like 15 or 16 years of age. And Krishna said to Radharani, blessing her at that particular point, as soon as someone says Ra, Ra, which is the beginning of Radharani, I give him steady devotion. And once one says Da, that's Radha, I run after him. So that's interesting, isn't it? So when someone says Ra, you get steady devotion. Da, then Krishna runs after that person because he's chanting the name Radha. And Krishna said to Radharani, this is very romantic, you stay in my heart always. You're greater than Lord Brahma. And then she started to argue with him, but she didn't believe. So then Krishna, he called for Lord Brahma. He remembered Brahma, and Brahma appeared and offered prayers to Radharani's feet. This happened at Bandiravan. Does anyone remember Bandiravan? We visited there? No, you don't remember. You never went there. So, does anyone remember? No? Anyway, Bandiravan is where you had the deity. It was like in a pavilion outside of the temple. There was a deity of Lord Brahma performing a marriage ceremony for Radha and Krishna. And there were deities of Radha and Krishna outside, and a deity of Lord Brahma, and the demigods were there too. No one remembers it. No. Anyway, I remember it. So Brahma performed the marriage sacrifice, and he also acted as the father of the bride. And all the demigods watched. Lord Brahma left the scene, and Krishna tied Radharani's hair. And after a while, he again assumed the baby form. And Radharani also assumed her childlike, early form like that. And then she took the baby back to Yashoda. It's interesting, isn't it? That's a very, very wonderful story. Then, there's another story about Krishna proving himself to be a brahmachari. So once upon a time, the gopis, they wanted to give some food to Dravasa to get his blessings to serve Krishna. But they couldn't, because the Jamuna was completely flooded. It was during the rainy season. So they asked Krishna, how can we cross the Jamuna? And Krishna said, you should meditate upon me and tell Jamuna Devi that I am the best brahmachari, and then she'll give you a way to cross. And then the gopis started laughing at Krishna. This is incredible. I mean, you've come up with some pretty far-out stories before. But we've been dancing with you every night, so we know you're not a brahmachari. So Krishna said, do it. And then the Jamuna opened up at that particular point. And they were shocked, and they crossed, and they fed Durvasa Muni, and he blessed them. But they were worried about how they could cross to the other side. And they asked Durvasa, how can we cross to the other side? And he said, go to the Jamuna and tell the Jamuna that Durvasa Muni has not eaten anything. This is after Durvasa Muni had eaten a giant feast. So the gopis did this, and they crossed the river, and they were bewildered. They said, we fed him so much, we know he ate, and we know Krishna is not a brahmachari. So they asked Krishna, why is this? And Krishna said, I am a brahmachari because in spite of dancing with all of you, my senses are not out of control. And then, in the same way, Durvasa's mind does not become attracted to anything material. So Durvasa didn't actually eat, because that's described in the Bhagavad Gita. When the pure soul experiences the body, what, sitting down, standing up, or doing whatever the body is doing, the pure soul understands that he himself is doing nothing. That would be a nice realization, isn't it? When you're sitting down, standing up, tired, I'm not standing up, I'm the soul. Okay, here's another story. This is actually very interesting story. This is the story of Krishna visiting Jatila, who's Radharani's so-called mother-in-law. Krishna was very anxious to see Radharani, and so he was loitering outside of the house, and Jatila came out and said, "What are you out here for?" And Krishna said, "A calf has been lost. The mother is crying for it. And also I'm very thirsty, wandering under the hot sun." So she got some compassion towards Krishna, took him in and had Radharani give him water. Radharani, of course, acted shy because she was in front of her mother-in-law. And Krishna looked at her in an enjoying spirit. So after a while, Krishna took rest in the house. Somehow or other, Jatila was under Yogamaya, so she never figured out what was happening. And afterwards, he was asked by Jatila to milk the cow as their milkman did not show up. Radharani brought the pot, and Krishna told Jatila to hold the calf. So she was very old, and she told Radha, "You hold the calf." So Krishna milked the cow, and while he was milking the cow, he was simply looking at Radharani. He didn't look at the pail, so he missed basically 90% of the milk fall on the ground. But because the cow was so happy to be milked by Krishna, the cow filled the pail, and Jatila didn't see what was happening because she was half blind. And Krishna took the milk from Radharani's hand, and Jatila also got some milk at that particular point. That's a very interesting story. Here's the story of Krishna proving Radharani's chastity. So Radharani one time was complaining to Krishna that, "You have ruined my reputation." Just like in India, reputation is so important. Like if someone criticizes you or says something about you, you simply have a nervous breakdown, isn't it? You can't say, in America, nobody cares. You know, it's, "Oh, you don't like me." That's your problem, not my problem. But in India, you know, it's just like, because of talk, it's a chat culture. So Radharani was very worried about her reputation. And she said to Krishna, "It's too much. I can't live anymore, you know, because everybody's talking about me in Vrindavan." So Krishna said, "Don't worry, I'm going to remove all questions of your chastity." So Krishna, the next morning, pretended to have a very high fever. He couldn't get up. They chanted mantras around him. The doctor came. And the doctor said, there was a doctor who was actually an expansion of Krishna. He said, "I have the medicine. You need to drink, get a specific drink with it to cure your disease. And that drink is Jamuna water that's coming in a pot with 1,000 holes in it. And it has to be carried across a bridge across the Jamuna that's made from hair. And there has to be water in it when the person's finished." I mean, that's impossible. You ever try standing on hair? It doesn't work like that. So everyone tried. No one succeeded. And, of course, Yashoda Maya, she thought, "I'm going to do it." But the doctor said, "It cannot be brought by the mother of the patient." And it had to be... So they made a bridge from joining Krishna's hair from one side of the Jamuna to the other. Is Krishna's hair. So Jatila thought, "I'm chaste." And Kutila also thought she was chaste. And they both fell into the water and they had to be rescued by the lifeguards. And the doctor said, "I know one chaste lady." And just to figure it out who the chaste lady was, he drew yantras on the ground and went through all sorts of mystical symbols, did calculations with the astrology. And he said, "That chaste lady is Radha. She's the only one." So Radharani at that time meditated on Krishna, offered prayers, and Krishna's reflection appeared in the pot. And that reflection manifested 1,000 fingers to plug the holes. The Lita looked at the pot and just, "Wow, what's happening here?" That's pretty good, isn't it? So so she was able to cross the river on the hare and give Krishna, and then Krishna's fever was cured. So Radha was offered milk at that point, and Radha refused to accept that until it was offered to Krishna first. So that's a nice, wonderful story, proving Radharani's chastity. Chastity means she's only thinking of Krishna's pleasure. So here's a story. This is an interesting story of Radharani's man, or anger. This is from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So Radharani was very angry with Krishna one day. And Krishna tried so many ways to break her anger, and then he approached Kundalata. And so he dressed, at that point, Krishna dressed up as a female singer. And Lalita took this singer and Kundalata to Radharani. And Radharani asked, "Who is she?" And the answer was Kalavali. And she is a singer. Her guru is Brihaspati. She learned from Brihaspati in Mathura how to sing all the Gandharva songs. And she also went to heaven. And they discussed about different ragas. And she began to sing a particular raga. And Radharani's sakis, tears actually turned to ice when she was reciting this raga. And Radharani's anger melted. Radharani was very pleased and gave this singer Kalavali her necklace and embraced this singer. Lalita whispered, "It is Krishna trying to cheat you." And then Radharani, in order just to cheat Krishna even more, said, "I should offer her dresses and clothes." You know, because Krishna was dressed up as a lady, and he had different, like, things under the clothes to give him the shape of a lady. So he didn't want to hear that. So I should give her, and then Kundalata, who knew what was happening, said, "She is very shy. You can give her the clothes and she can change in a private place." And they said, "No, she's amongst ladies. It's not a problem." So they forcibly undressed her. And out of her blouse, two mangoes fell. So Rupa Mundri and the others started laughing. Krishna was extremely embarrassed. And everyone laughed and they threw Krishna out. Lalita threw Krishna out. "You're not going to get away with this." So Krishna took all these clothes again and then dressed up as the lady, the same lady again, Kalavali. And ran to Jatila's house crying. Jatila asked what had happened, and Krishna said, "My name is Kalavali, and I am Radharani's cousin. And Radharani refuses to embrace me." Jatila says, "I will help." She ordered Lalita, Jatila ordered Lalita and others to receive her nicely. Jatila forced Radha and Krishna to embrace right in front of her. Then Radharani gave up her anger and there was simply happiness. And Jatila ordered Kalavali to spend the night with Radharani. And Krishna said, "I've defeated all of you." He's very happy. So now we have to greet the deities. All glories to the Mangre, Shri Prabhupada, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Radharani ki jai.